Ralph, me and Paul have kind of talked to people for the last few days. I know I've seen you around. You're doing the same thing. And the theme that we've been getting is that while everyone understands a big part of the Giants' offseason has to be improving the offensive line, it might prove a little bit more difficult than a lot of fans might want to hear.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of attractive options for improving the offensive line, either in free agency or the draft. Now, the draft evaluations are going to change wildly, as we all know, between now and draft day.
But no doubt.
Right now, you know, there's mixed reactions as to whether it's a good class or a deep class. But in free agency, you're talking about the better guys seem most suited to right tackle, which might not be what the Giants want. We don't know yet. They're also going to be wildly overpriced. I mean, you think, like, Brian Winters, the Jets guard, got like $7 million a year. If that's the starting salary spot for a guard who's good but not great, the tackle market's going to go crazy. Since you're looking at guys like Ryan Clady, who would be good, but he's getting older and he's injured. I mean, the word would be damaged goods. And I don't know that the Giants want to get into that market. And Andre Whitworth, who's, what, 35 years old? So, maybe they can find a veteran, but you're not looking at, like, the savior of the offensive line or your left tackle for the next 10 years.
Well, John Mara's already said that last year they spent a lot of money on free agency and they don't have nearly as much to spend. So you know that their big splash is probably JPP with the tag. Can Hankins fit in here? Jerry Reese said there were ways to make the numbers still work. Can it happen, or is Hankins going to get a lot of offers?
I think he's going to get a lot of offers. I mean, it certainly can happen. You know, you've got to figure, even though Jonathan Hankins is not Damon Harrison, the contract might end up in that area because that's what happens in free agency. The cap keeps jumping wildly, so the numbers go crazy. Nobody thought last year that Olivier Vernon was going to get $85 million, and he did. So you could get into the Harrison range. There's ways to work that so it can fit. Even with JPP, the Giants have about $17 million or so in cap room. They may not be very active in free agency. There are ways to create more space. Mm-hmm. You know, Eli Manning can restructure his deal, or they can restructure it for him. So there's ways to do it. I think Hankins wants to come back, but you get that sense. You get this close to free agency, it's very tempting to find out what your market value is going to be, and he's going to be one of the best defensive tackles out there.
Yeah.
And, Ralph, when you take a look at it now, and like I said, you were with the Jets last year, too, covering them, and, of course, a lot of the rumors out there about Brandon Marshall. What are you hearing about that, first of all? And, of course, whenever somebody comes available, you know all the tweets everybody always gets.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to be fair, Brandon Marshall actually was officially released about a minute before I came on this
show. Is that true?
So, yeah, the Jets just announced it.
It's now done.
It is now official. So I haven't heard anything official, you know, about the Giants interested or somebody else interested. What I can tell you is I think it makes a lot of sense for the Giants because Eli Manning, Ernie Accorsi told me this. It's in his original scouting report. He told me this many years ago that the book on Eli Manning is that when he misses high. Mm-hmm. It's why they went out and got Plaxico Burress. It's why Eli Manning's best years were with Amani Toomer at 6'3 and Burress at 6'5. The Giants have not had that big receiver. I mean, they've got guys that played big, but, you know, Hakeem Nicks was not a huge guy. He was 6'1", maybe.
Had a good wingspan, though.
He did have a good wingspan. Odell Beckham plays big. But, you know, when I walked into the Jets locker room last year and saw Brandon Marshall, my first thought was, now that is an NFL receiver. He just looked so much more physically imposing. Not better, but more physically imposing than the guys in the Giants room.
You know what reminded me of, I think, Ralph, when we went to Cincinnati for training camp 2 years ago and you saw A.J. Green. And you're like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that you get a guy like that on the outside. Granted, he's not at the prime of his career, but you can get him at a little bit of a bargain. You know, last year he had 100-something catches, 1,500 yards. He's not that far away from playing really good football. He likes New York. It makes some sense. I don't know that the Giants are going to do it, but it does football-wise, I think it makes sense to me.
From his perspective, though, he's a guy that's always been the 1A guy. He's been the star. Is he okay being a guy that's going to get half as many targets as he normally gets and not being the star attraction?
That's an interesting question. All I can tell you is that towards the end of last season with the Jets, when we had asked him, you know, would you be willing to stay here and take a pay cut, he gave his famous line of like, well, I'll play for free. My bills are paid. But in that quote, he also said, you know, it's not just about the money for me anymore. I want to win.
Yeah.
So maybe the same thing would be go towards, well, I don't want to be the number one guy anymore. I want a chance to win. He's never been in a playoff game in 11 years. If you say to him, hey, come to an 11-5 team, we're loading up to win a championship in the next 3 years. You're not going to be the number one guy, but you'll get 60 catches. You're not playing for another contract. You're just playing to get your championship. I think you could sell him.
Especially in the red zone, he'd be a huge target
absolutely.
For them. Absolutely.
Well, you know, that Giants wide receiver room is very young and impressionable. And right now, they don't have that, quote, old-timer veteran presence in the room. So do you think that is more of a necessity, that if they're going to add to that core, that it's not necessarily a draft pick because that's another newbie? Mm-hmm. Does it need to be an old-timer?
I don't think it needs to be an old-timer. You know, you can succeed with younger guys. You can have – there are veterans on the offense that can influence some of the younger receivers. Odell Beckham is a kid, but he's now been around a few years. He should know what it means to be an NFL player. But I think it does help when you have a guy like Brandon Marshall or a veteran player. You know, obviously there's been a lot of issues, some overblown, some not, with Odell Beckham. You know, he's still growing. He's still – people are trying to calm him down, teach him what it's like to be a professional. Brandon Marshall actually had contacted Odell Beckham last year, and they spoke when it looked like Beckham might be a little out of control again. He could be a mentor. He could be a guy who says, hey, these are the things you need to know. I dealt with this. I was a volatile kid who had to learn how to be famous, and I came through it. Here's how. So it certainly could help, but they could survive without that.
And I asked Bob Glauber this question. He was on about a half an hour ago. When the Giants try to figure out how to get this offense back to what it was a couple years ago, where do you think that solution's going to come in? How do you think is the most efficient way to fix it and make it more consistent?
Well, I believe strongly that it all comes down to the offensive line. I've been a big supporter of Eli Manning for his entire career. I think he is, while not the player he was 5 years ago, there aren't 10 guys in this league I would take over him. So you're set at quarterback. Odell Beckham's as good as you can be at receiver. Sterling Shepard is fine. You maybe get another guy. I think you can get by at running back, too. And Paul Perkins could be very good. But you need to have a group up front that can create those holes for the running backs and protect Eli Manning. And I heard what Ben McAdoo said the other day, where he didn't really blame Eli for everything, but he kind of said, you know, it's not just the offensive line. It's Eli's footwork, the turnovers, all those things. That's fine. But we all watch the games, and Eli Manning did not have the kind of time in the pocket that most other quarterbacks of good teams get. Mm-hmm. And there were plenty of games where he took two steps back, and there was a guy right in his face. You fix that offensive line and give him time, and I think that offense gets much closer to being in the top half of the league again.
Do they need to, A, have a fullback in their offense this year, and B, Coach McAdoo even said he would evaluate everything after his rookie season, which would include play calling.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, the fullback, I think it would help. I don't know if it's a big deal. They didn't use the fullback a ton when the last couple of times they had it. Now, I don't know how they were going to use Will Johnson before. Will Johnson, sorry. Drew blank there for a second. In his tight end, fullback, H-back role, that would have been interesting to see. But in principle, having another blocker, whether he's a fullback, a true blocking tight end, would absolutely help. So I think they should do that. As for the play calling, it's kind of interesting. I did sense at times maybe Ben McAdoo lost a little bit of the big picture of the game because he was trying to call plays. I didn't think that was a major, major issue. And I know there's a lot of criticism about his play calling, and sometimes there were certainly some decisions he made that were really strange to me. But I think in general, he called plays that would have worked. I mean, you can't – he called – were there two times in the end zone that in that Green Bay game that a receiver dropped the ball? Another one, Odell Beckham drops another one that's a big third down. These are plays that are working but not being executed.
Another one too, Ralph, the ball that came out of Eli Manning's hand. Roger Lewis is wide open in the end zone for the touchdown if it doesn't slip out of Eli Manning's hand.
Absolutely, and there's plenty of examples like that. Even runs, people's like, how could you run there? And then you look at the film and you see the tight end whiffing on somebody and the running back hit before he gets to the line of scrimmage.
You're right.
Is it a bad play? Okay, well, maybe he should know his personnel and know that, you know, Larry Donnell or whoever wasn't going to pick up that block. But at some point, you got to try it and expect a guy to get his assignment. But the execution on offense this year, in a lot of cases, was just terrible. So I don't know that the play calling change would make that big a difference. I think Mike Sullivan could have called a great game, and the execution would have been just as bad.
Right.
How about the draft, Ralph? What do you think the approach is going to be? You mentioned the offensive line class. Everyone we've had on is very nonplussed about it. You know, there probably isn't going to be someone there worthy at 23 to pick when the Giants get there. So are they going to try to build on a strengthy or such a good defensive draft in the defensive backfield, defensive line? Or do they try to maybe address the linebacker or a tight end position in the first round for the first time in a while. How do you see them approaching this draft in general?
You know, it's funny. For years, Jerry Reese and Ernie Corsi before him and probably George Young before him always said, we just take the best player available. And I've written and laughed about this publicly because it usually matches a need somehow. A need factors in when you're building your draft board. And especially in the first round, you always want a guy who can plug into a spot. But this year, I actually think the best player available might be the way to go because this is a good team. You know, we're talking about all their holes. They're 11-5. They could have beaten the Green Bay Packers. They could have made a little bit of a run at the Super Bowl. And their offense, in my opinion, badly underachieved. So, yeah, they have holes. If there's an offensive lineman that they like there, I'd like to see them work on offense because they spent $200 million on defense. Mm-hmm. I think they're fine there, even if Jonathan Hankins doesn't come back. If there's an offensive lineman there, great. If O.J. Howard or David Njoku at tight end somehow slip there, you need a dynamic tight end. I think they want a dynamic tight end. So they're going to have options. And honestly, if there is a defensive player, a good pass rushing linebacker, a replacement at defensive tackle for Jonathan Hankins, those are things you have to consider. Even a defensive end wouldn't be ridiculous because they really just have two, and they like more of a rotation. I mean, they have guys that, like Romeo Okoro, maybe could be something, but only two proven guys.
And those guys made way too many snaps last year, too, by the way, when they were active.
Absolutely. So they have a lot of options to go where they could get a position that would help them. So it might. This goes against my philosophy, but it might come down to best player available.
And by the way, you never know what happens with Jason Pierre-Paul next year if he happens to play on the franchise tag.
Right.
You draft a really good pass rusher. That gives you a lot more freedom next year if he ends up becoming a free agent for a second straight year.
Absolutely. You do have to think about that. And I don't. One thing I do believe is I don't know that you should think too long term with your first round pick. I don't know what position this would be, but you don't want to. Like, I wouldn't take a quarterback there now and say, okay, well, in 3 years he's going to replace Eli Manning. This draft is about, and this free agency class is about this. You got 3 years left of Eli Manning. Maybe a little more, but let's figure 3 years. You're trying to win a championship in those 3 years. Everything you do is about that. So you got to be careful about saying, well, in 2 years, this guy's contract is up, then we can slide. No, you need help right now. JPP's different because it's, at the moment, a one-year contract. But you need a guy that's going to be somewhat of an immediate help so you can try to maximize your last few years with Eli.
John, I know you want to get to some calls here. I'm going to ask you a real quick one before you get to those phones. Two guys who we don't know a whole lot about, but we think the Giants are going to ask a lot of, Darian Thompson. Mm-hmm. At safety, and B.J. Goodson at linebacker, who's expected to at least compete for a starting job. What's your gut feel as to what they're going to get out of those two guys?
Well, I think Darian Thompson will end up as a starter. I mean, that obviously was their intention last year before he got hurt. There was nothing that any of us saw in camp or his little bit of time playing that said he couldn't handle it.
He looks good.
He looks really good.
Heck, by May, he had outplayed two veterans that were on the team for two or 3 years.
Absolutely. B.J. Goodson is a little bit more of a mystery to us just because we didn't see as much, but everything I hear out of the Giants is they really think this kid was a steal for where they drafted him, and I think he will get a legitimate chance to win a starting job. I mean, both of those guys could step in.